Excuse me for a second.
Pops on the mic.
Can we stop all the booing? Let these guys play. It's got no class. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
All right. I got no problem with Pop having an opinion on what he thinks the fans should do. But that doesn't mean they have to listen to you. Let me tell you something, guys. One of the biggest parts, one of the best things about being a fan is being able to go to the game, cheer your team on, and boo the opponent. You can't take that away from them, Pop. You can't do that. No, that's within the fans' right. They should be able to come to the game and say what they want to say. On top of that, let's remember, Kawhi Leonard, he didn't necessarily leave on the greatest term. For that, last thing I'll say on this one, Greg Popovich, who we know has been with the Spurs for so many years, the Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker years, he's done a ton of post-game pressers. You just heard the audio, you just heard the sound that I played for you. He's talking about being classy. Has Greg Popovich himself always been classy in his post-game pressers? College football playoff rankings just came out this morning. They got Michigan at number one, Washington at number two, Texas at number three, Alabama at number four. I think what surprised me the most looking at this is I'm going to go with Florida State University, who's 13-0, and they got two teams that made the playoffs for the final four teams that have losses, and Florida State has none. I have a feeling this is going to make for very, very interesting TV this week. I'll be locked in. Let me check Twitter. I probably can already get an idea of what it's going to be like this week, but we'll see. Welcome on in, guys, to 94 Feet. Your host, B.O. Dieter, here with you. Thank you, guys, for tuning in to another episode. For any new listeners that we have out there, hey, hit that subscribe button, all right? Listen, we share a lot of good content on this show. We talk about sports. We talk about pop culture. We talk about things going on in the real world. And we also give you guys some form of a tool or something that you can apply back to your own life, something that's going to help you be a step forward when you cut this podcast off. So listen through to find out what I'm talking about. Appreciate you guys taking time to tune in today. Thank you to my subscribers who always faithfully come through listening to content and things of that nature. So I'm excited. Got a lot of different things I want to share here with you. Let me just also give you a heads up for my show coming this week, Wednesday. I'm having a guest on, Jose Vargas, who wrote a book last year called The Lead Through Method. Proven steps to helping people get unstuck in life and achieving the ultimate results of what they're looking for. I'm kind of paraphrasing that head title, but excellent book. I read it last year. A lot of knowledge, a lot of different things I think people can take from it. So I encourage you, if nothing else this week, listen in to my episode this coming Wednesday, December the 6th. It's going to be good. You don't want to miss out. I know it. I'm telling you now, so don't miss it. Be there. Listen. All right. So let's go ahead and get right on into what's on my mind today. A lot of different things, like I said, I want to talk about across all sports. First thing I'm going to start off with here is the big matchup that we have in the NFL. So happy Sunday to you. Happy NFL Sunday to you guys. Happy December as well. Big matchup today in the NFL between the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. Two top teams in the NFC. Both of these teams are leading their divisions in terms of their last games. Per team, the Eagles, they snuck out a 37-34 victory over the Buffalo Bills last Sunday. Jalen Hurts completed 58% of his passes, threw for 200 yards, rushed for two touchdowns. He threw three of them to his receivers. 49ers took on the Seattle Seahawks. That was on Thanksgiving Day. They defeated them 31-13. Seahawks just lost again this past Thursday to the Cowboys. Brock Purdy threw for 209 yards. He had one touchdown, one interception, and finished with a quarterback rating of 62.2 for this game alone. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to find out what these two teams are made of, okay? We're going to find out. We got two high-powered offenses with exceptional receivers. You talk about the 49ers, you got Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Elijah Mitchell. Eagles, you got A.J. Brown, you got Devontae Smith, Julio Jones, Latavius Murray, DeAndre Swift, who I'm really high on, more so than Kenneth Gainwell. I like DeAndre Swift, man. I like what he brings to the game. Two high-powered offenses. Now, I know Brock Purdy, his ability to lead has been under question by many people this year, as they believe it is the receivers of the 49ers that they believe is what has led this team to where they are so far. I don't personally feel that way. I believe Purdy has proven himself in terms of his importance to this offense. From the time when he came in and he took over for guys like Jimmy Garoppolo. I think also, let's keep in mind, Purdy's the quarterback. He can't throw the ball to himself. All right. I understand his receiving core is exceptional. I give him his credit. Yeah, absolutely. He's not playing with guys that are scrubs. You know, and these are people that are you know, elite within their own categories as tight end and wide receivers and backs and things of that nature. So, you know, I completely understand that. But at the same time, you can make the same argument. People were making this argument last year or the year prior for Patrick Mahomes, you know, having guys like Tyreek Hill to throw the ball to and Travis Kelce, who people felt that, you know, it was like he had a one-up on some of the other teams. He can't help that's his receiving core. I mean, you need decent receivers to win the game. So, Purdy, I give him his credit. I don't think I wouldn't call him an elite quarterback yet, but I think he's doing what he's supposed to do, you know, in terms of, being able to hold down that starting position. If I had to choose a quarterback who I feel is more proven, though, at this point, I would definitely go with Hurts. You know, I believe he's led his team to a 10-1 start so far. They got the best record in the NFL. He's currently 6th in the NFL with a QBR rating of quarterback rating at 63.5. His interceptions are a little high. He's thrown 10 this season. He has 18 touchdowns on the season as a whole. And I believe he's proven to be a leader. And let's not forget, he has a Super Bowl appearance now underneath his belt from last year, even though they lost, you know, but they made it there. They made it. And, you know, I can imagine 49ers are going to come in today with a chip on their shoulder, feeling like, you know what, we had that game pulled away from us. We had that game pulled away. They lost all their quarterbacks last season, got so bad to the point where they had Christian McCaffrey lining up to snap the ball. I mean, never seen anything like that in NFL history. So I imagine this 49ers team, like I said, they're going to come in with a chip on their shoulder to try to make a statement. So the Eagles, they got to be ready, you know, otherwise you guys are going to get punched in the mouth today. So it should definitely be a good game. I'm looking forward to this. I think the Eagles offensive coordinator has the team rolling right now in terms of where they need to be. The only thing that concerns me with the Eagles and that I don't see as a problem for the 49ers is the defense. There's too many times. I mean, I can even think back to week 2 when they were playing the Vikings. There's too many times when you look at the secondaries for the Eagles and you see receivers for the opposing team getting open down the field and making big plays and making big catches. Those are the things that will kill you in playoff games, in Super Bowls and things of that nature. You got to know your coverages. You got to know who you got. You have to know where your man is, essentially. And you got to be on your assignment. You got to be alert. You know what I mean? I'm not a professional, but at least I know that minimally, like I said. You got to pay attention. You got to know who it is you're supposed to be guarding. If you don't know who you're supposed to be guarding, people are going to get open. They're going to make big plays, and it's going to be harder to come back. And you're going to let people blow up leads on you guys because you're not paying attention. You're not where you need to be. You got to be able to play both ends of the floor. I love the offense for the Eagles, but you know what? The defense has got to do what they got to do, too. Otherwise, you're going to burn your offense out by letting other teams score over and over and over, and your offense has to work that much more harder to try to overcome for the mishaps of the defense. So it's going to be a good game. I'm excited for this one. I really am. So I'm looking forward to it. Transitioning to my next topic here, University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh. This story's been out for some time, and I just haven't really gotten to it. So let me touch on it now that it kind of seems like things are coming to an end, at least for where we are right now. So, as I mentioned before, at the top of the show here, so University of Michigan is number one right now. So, they'll take on Alabama in the playoffs. So, head coach Jim Harbaugh, who recently came off a 3-game suspension for allegedly stealing opponent signs and signals during games. The report states that a Michigan staffer purchased tickets to the games to the Michigan Wolverines' future opponents and sent people to those games to digitally record the signals and signs by other teams. Guys, right now, we don't know if this is true, all right? There hasn't been confirmed that Michigan did it. Head coach Jim Harbaugh did serve a 3-game suspension. He just figured, let me go ahead and serve it so I can go ahead and get back to just focusing on football with my team. We don't know if he did it. If he did do it, guys, this is just unfair advantage. That's what it is. It's unfair advantage. There's nothing else to really, put to it. You can't cheat. You can't. Not in sports. People do it, of course. People get away with it. But in this case, if it is true, it's unfair advantage, you know, and I think sometimes people have to be really slow down and think about what you're doing when you make these kinds of decisions, because we've seen this stuff before. Mistakes like this can be detrimental not only to the team and to the coach and what they want to do in that season. It can be detrimental to the school. I think about University of Memphis, and I think about the flack that they suffered from when John Calipari was coaching there. I think it was John Calipari, when Derrick Rose was there, and they found out that Derrick Rose, apparently there was something that was incorrect with his SAT scores. I think, I don't know if he cheated or if he had somebody else take the exam for him or something of that nature. But I remember it created all this upheaval about the University of Memphis. And, you know, again, your school takes a hit. Recruiting and all these different things are impacted when people do these kinds of things. And, you know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I opened up the show talking about Florida State University. That team has a 13-0 record. You talk about a team like Michigan that gets in. Yeah, Michigan has a perfect record too. I understand that. But I'm just saying, you don't think that's another reason that makes them probably will feel bitter this week to think about, that Michigan got in and they didn't, considering we don't even know if they truthfully should have been in there. We don't know if they truthfully were winning games, you know, honest and justly without, you know, with some kind of advantage of knowing what team signals were for plays. You don't think somebody like them is going to be thinking about that? So, I mean, it really is unfortunate. You know, again, this is not the first time that people have gotten over on people with cheating. It happens all the time, and a lot more than we think, too. The problem is, it doesn't always make its way to the news media. But, you know, I've always been a sayer. Listen, as long as there's human flesh within the earth, there will be somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing. And I know that somebody will say that's a bad way to look at life, but I'm just keeping it real with you, and I'm telling you what I know, okay? The other thing you got to think about is talking about John Harbaugh. John's got to remember, and I say this for anybody, I think this is a bigger life lesson you can take away from this. You see, it's talent that will get you to your platform. It's talent that will get you to your goal of what you're trying to work to. But once you get there, it's integrity and character that will help you stay there. Okay? It's integrity and character. When you do stuff like this, in terms of stealing signs to try to win football games and stuff like that, you compromise the integrity of the school, of yourself as an individual, of the program, okay? And when you compromise the integrity, it becomes hard for things to stand. Integrity is a part of the foundation for anything that you're going to be able to do, anything that you want people to believe in or put trustworthy in, or to trust in. If integrity is compromised, if the foundation of a building is compromised, it falls. Okay, so that's the one thing that concerns me, you know, that I don't think people are thinking about here, especially Coach Jim Harbaugh, who's supposed to be a leader, you know, of these guys and of these men, you know, thinking bigger picture. You got to be careful when you do stuff like this. So we'll see what happens. Again, it's unfortunate. I'm really, really, really interested to see what television sounds like this week, considering Florida State didn't get in. So I will be listening. Transitioning to my next topic here, the Golden State Warriors forward Draymond Green is fresh off a 5-game suspension himself. During his first presser back earlier this week, about a week ago, he reminded everyone that he's not changing his ways and, quote, that he has no regrets. I don't have the sound on this one for you guys, but so I just decided to share it with you straightforward. So let me tell you what my thoughts are about this situation. First of which, anybody who truly understands the game of basketball, you know the value that Draymond Green brings to the Golden State Warriors team. He's an enforcer. He brings toughness. He's a true point forward. The offense literally has a whole different flow when he's out there versus when he's not. His ability to get out there and create shots for guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, he puts the ball where it needs to be, right on the money, you know, and he is a playmaker for that team. His value is not to be undermined at all in any way, shape, or form, okay? Me personally, I love Draymond Green, the basketball player. I love his grit. I love his mentality that he comes to games with each and every day. In this situation with Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green was wrong. He was wrong. I've listened to a couple other podcasts. I heard Paul George saying earlier this week that, there's like a code or, you know, typically when a fight like that breaks out, there's a code in terms of the way people should go about handling it. In a situation like that, he said Draymond would have been correct to go in there and pull Klay out of the situation. You go and get your teammate. You don't go and put your hands on somebody else. In this case, Draymond did. I wouldn't have been mad if Draymond walked in there and pushed Rudy Gobert if he just shoved him. Yo, man, get off my play. What are you doing? I wouldn't have been mad with something like that. I wouldn't have been mad if he grabbed him by the neck to pull him off, but not to sit there and hold him in a headlock. You can't hold people in a headlock. And he had him in there for at least 5 to 10 seconds. That's a long time. Or maybe not 10, but at least 3 to 5. It's still a long time. All right, you can't be putting people in headlock. This is not WWE. So he was wrong for that. You know, and I'm glad that he got suspended and things of that nature. What I don't like, though, sometimes, guys, and I got to be honest, there's so many people who try to paint Draymond Green out as being this dirty player, this bad guy. And, oh, he treated so-and-so wrong, and he did this. Like, and there's so many people that I think they mix all the different incidents with Draymond Green together as one. And that's why people in their head, they think he's a dirty player. But really think about and really dissect some of the things he's done. You know, you call him a dirty player. Is he really a dirty player? I mean, let's go down some of the issues he's done. So this incident with the with Gobert, yes, I agree. He was wrong. He was out of line for that one. Before that, what else happened? Last year in the playoffs in the first round against the Sacramento Kings, he steps on Domantas Sabonis. That one to me is arguable because, again, part of the reason why he stepped on him is because when Domantas Sabonis fell down, he grabbed his leg and he was trying to get his leg out. Now, again, he didn't have to bring his foot down on his chest, but I'm also looking at the fact that why would Domantas Sabonis grab his leg? What are you grabbing his leg for? You know, so to me, I think that one's arguable. The one where he kicked Steven Adams in the groin, that was, I can't remember what year that was. That might have been 2015, maybe, I think. That one, okay, that one I could understand in terms of, you know, that one I'll give to him. I'll say he was wrong on that one. I'll give that one to you guys. What, LeBron James in 2016? No, I don't put that on Draymond Green. Because if it wasn't for Draymond Green, it could be any other player that was on the floor. LeBron James went and stepped over Draymond Green. Everybody who plays sports knows. For you to go and step over somebody in the middle of a game is the height of disrespect. Okay? You do that to me, I'm going to get up in your face and be like, yo, listen, with me now. All right? I'm going to get up in your face. I mean, I can't be mad at Draymond for that. I don't blame that on him. I would have did the same thing, and I think most other people would. And especially in the moment. You know, again, this is not something that was planned out. This is reactionary responses to things that are happening in the moment. And they're reacting. It's not like this is planned activity. So, you know, I don't put that one on him. You know, the issue last year at the beginning of the season with Jordan Poole, I don't put that one on him either because fights happen in practices all the time. Now, I understand the severity of the punch was ugly and it was bad. And, you know, he knocked Jordan Poole out. I know that was bad. But again, my thing is these kinds of things happen all the time. It's just the fact that somebody in the Warriors organization got that video and leaked it to TMZ. And we've seen what we've seen now since it's come out. But I don't put that back on Draymond Green. No. Because fights happen all the time. I remember Bobby Portis, who's a forward right now for the Milwaukee Bucks, got in an argument with Nikola Mirotic, and they started fighting. And same thing. They said Nikola Mirotic's face was so banged up, he had to go to the hospital. And then we never saw photos of it. We never got video of it. And eventually, Nikola Mirotic was just out there. I don't know if I think Bobby Portis did get suspended for a game or two. I'm not sure. I don't really remember. But Nikola Mirotic ended up going back home and playing overseas in Europe. I think he's from Spain. But again, you know, fights happen all the time, guys, in practice, in all sports and in all levels. College, collegiate, high school, middle schools, fights happen 24/7. Women's sports, guys' sports, coaches, players, disagreements, we're people. It happens in all levels, guys. It's normal. You know, so I don't put that on Draymond Green. As ugly as that punch was, you know, I'm not gonna say and lie to you and tell you it didn't have an effect on the team and the way they played. That's a different question. Yeah, you know, I love Draymond, you know, and I love what he brings to the game. And I think Draymond has just got to be careful. He's got to understand his value was very high for this Warriors team. They need him. You know, they don't necessarily have some of that depth they used to have before. So, I mean, they really need him to be available. Klay, Curry, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, Dario Saric, Kevin Looney. They got to stay healthy, you know, because like I said, they don't have some of that depth that we're used to them having over the years. So, you know, on top of that, Draymond Green is, you know, a great basketball mind. You know, you can definitely tell this is somebody who truly understands the game. There's a lot of people who don't, who just are great basketball players, but they don't necessarily understand basketball. So, you know, I think if he wants to be able to have some opportunity, you know, post basketball, you also got to think about conduct. You got to think about behavior because you don't want people trying to ostracize you saying, listen, this guy's too demonstrative, or, you know, he's too, you know, dysfunctional. You know, I don't think he should be, you know, getting opportunities to, you know, maybe share or speak or have his own show on some other network. You know, people will use anything to hold it over your head. So I'm just saying, Draymond, you got to be wise, my brother. This team needs you. You're closer to the end of your career than you are at the beginning at this point. So, you know, think about your value, man. Think about the kind of career you want to have in the remaining years of your time here in the league and even post that. You know, as we know, you'll continue to do things to stay around the game. So that's where I'm at on that one for you guys. Okay, we're in the crunch time, guys. This past Wednesday, or two Wednesdays ago, I should say, the Los Angeles Clippers took on the San Antonio Spurs. Former Spur Kawhi Leonard was at the free throw line shooting free throws, and head coach of the Spurs, Greg Popovich, took the mic from the PA announcer and stated the following. Check out the sound.
Excuse me for a second.
Pops on the mic.
Can we stop all the booing and let these guys play? It's got old glass. It's not who we are. Knock off the booing.
Pop telling the fans.
All right. I got no problem with Pop having an opinion on what he thinks the fans should do. But that doesn't mean they have to listen to you. Let me tell you something, guys. One of the biggest parts, one of the best things about being a fan is being able to go to the game, cheer your team on, and boo the opponent. You can't take that away from them, Pop. You can't do that. No, that's within the fans' right. They should be able to come to the game and say what they want to say. On top of that, let's remember, Kawhi Leonard, he didn't necessarily leave on the greatest terms, okay? He didn't necessarily leave on the greatest terms. Yeah, he helped them win a championship in 2014. But at the same time, there's a lot of people who feel that Kawhi Leonard forced his way out. So, I mean, he didn't necessarily leave on the best terms. I think that, that's also part of the reason why they were booing him. And on top of that, last thing I'll say on this one, Greg Popovich, who we know has been with the Spurs for so many years, the Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker years, he's done a ton of post-game pressers. You just heard the audio. You just heard the sound that I played for you. He's talking about being classy. Has Greg Popovich himself always been classy in his post-game pressers? And if you watch basketball, the answer is no. Enough said. And if you haven't, go Google it. Go YouTube Greg Popovich and post-game pressers, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? Next thing here I want to get into. Two different reports were released over the last week regarding off-the-court and field issues. Oklahoma City guard Josh Giddey is under investigation for a relationship with a minor, and the Buffalo Bills linebacker Von Miller turned himself in to the authorities in Glen Heights, Texas, due to a warrant that was issued for allegedly assaulting a woman who was pregnant. All right, guys, two totally different issues here. Let's start with Giddey, first of which the investigation is still underway. No reports have been released yet in terms of confirming, if he did have the relationship with the girl or what exactly did occur. So there's not much that we can say yet on that one. At the moment, I will say it doesn't look good. That much I can tell you. Head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Mark Daigneault, he declined to comment on this early this week. This one has got a big question mark next to it. But if I'm Josh Giddey, you know, anything that you did do with this girl, if you did have a relationship with her, you got to think, man, this is not going to be good. You can't have a relationship with a minor. This is not rocket science. You can't do that. Von Miller, same thing. You know, the first thing I think about when I hear this situation, first, which is I think about the woman who was pregnant and I think about the child she was pregnant with. My hope is that the both of these people are okay and they're safe and they're healthy and they're doing well, especially the child that is, the child that the woman is pregnant with currently. Just understanding their delicacy and just, you know, having that care with them in their early stages, you know. That's my first situation. Von Miller, as it relates to, you know, his actions and what he did here, this is not the first time we've seen this. And I think, Von Miller, you got to be smart, man. You don't put your hands on women at all. It's never okay. It's never permissible at all. You don't put your hands on women. You don't. So, I mean, I think he definitely failed here. There is an article that's up on ESPN.com. If you guys go there and check it out, you can get more details as to what exactly occurred and what was reported. It is a little bit disturbing, and just for the sake of time, I won't go into it. But again, check out ESPN.com. They have a full article up there about it, you know, what exactly occurred here. Other thing here I want to talk to you about is since James Harden, so go back to the Clippers, since James Harden has joined the Los Angeles Clippers, you know, this season, you know, it's been a little bit rocky, which is understood, and we knew that. Anytime you try to incorporate into a new player, it always is. And especially a player of James Harden's magnitude, who we know, hasn't been the perfect fit in places like Philadelphia, eventually forced his way out of Brooklyn and Philly and all these other places in Houston. So, you know, we knew that this was going to be a little bit of a challenge. He's also playing with Russell Westbrook, who's also another ball-dominant guard. They had a quick tenure together back in Houston. We know it wasn't exactly the greatest, and moved on from one another after just one season. And here they are now back in the same situation. So they haven't been perfect. You know, they don't look championship ready to me. And I think they'll continue to work through the kinks and try to get things in place. They have no other option. They don't really have much more assets, you know, as they traded so many away to get the players that they have currently. So, it's a little bit tough. The reason why I'm bringing this up, though, is I want to remind people that I think we need to start giving Russell Westbrook more credit. Russell Westbrook 2 weeks ago went to the coaching staff at the Los Angeles Clippers and told the coaches, listen, allow me to come off the bench. Allow me to come off the bench. He talked about the fact that, he's willing to kind of make some sacrifices here to help the team go in the direction that they want to go. And I just want to applaud Russell Westbrook for what he did, because as far as I'm concerned, he didn't have to do that. And he was here before James. Why can't James come off the bench? You know, I'm just saying, like, these are some other responses he could have had. The fact that Russell Westbrook has made this change, guys, this is so huge, especially when you think about the Russell Westbrook that we remember, who was in Washington. And I can't remember where he was when he said it, but I remember there was a time when he talked about somebody had asked him something about coming off the bench, and he kind of had a response that was a little bit snarky, as if to say, you know, that that's beneath me. That was, again, this is not his wording, but I'm just saying, trying to get him to this position of sacrifice and taking a lesser role and, being more team-oriented and realizing that you're not the marquee guy anymore. You know, it was a little bit of a struggle at first. It was a bit of a struggle. And to hear him say this, to see where he's at now, to be focused on the team, he's taken way less money than he's ever made in his career this season. It doesn't matter. He's been paid. He's got his money. He's already, he made his money's worth from what he did at that time. Again, we need to applaud. We need to applaud Russell Westbrook. So I definitely give him his credit on that one. I'm really proud of him. Really, really proud of him. Just with the adjustments he's made. There was an article up on Fox.com that highlights Russell Westbrook right now is making history in the NBA. He is one of the top guards. I think he's number one or number two in terms of guards to average a triple-double while coming off the bench. I think he has 19 or 18. I will have the article for you in the comments if you want to check it out. The other guard that has 19 or 18 with him is Josh Hart, who currently plays for the Knicks. So, like I said, doing big things. We got to start giving this guy more credit for just some of the adjustments he's made, for the longevity of his career and just being able to stay out there longer. So, Russell Westbrook, kudos to you, my brother. Keep it up. All right, guys, moving on into the last segment of my show here. It is the goal segment. And I just figured, here we are in the beginning of December. We just came through Thanksgiving, and I want to ask you guys, what are you thankful for? What are you thankful for? You know, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. It's one of the things I enjoy most about it. I won't lie, is the food, and I always tell people there is no fasting when it comes near Thanksgiving for me. So I always tell myself I'm going to enjoy all the food I want to enjoy today. Okay. And I'm just going to thank God that it only comes one day a year, because if it was multiple times, I'd have a problem and I probably would be significantly larger than what you guys know. For those of you that have seen me before in person, okay? That's all I'm saying on that one. But I love Thanksgiving, and apart from the food, apart from, all the wonderful things that we get a chance to eat at that time of the year, I think about the many wonderful blessings that I have in my life. I think about the things. I'm a person, I literally will take time out, guys, from time to time to just sit down and think about the most smallest thing that I've never thought about being thankful for that I have in my life. Right now I'm talking to you, Mike. I never thought about it until now that this mic is sitting on a stand, which allows me to talk into it. I'm thankful that I got a stand to put my mic on. I know some people listen to that and you say, like, what? Like, why would you be thankful for that? Why would you say that? But again, I don't have to have a stand. I could sit here and hold this mic with my hand. I could have no stand and have to hold it. It could be worse. I could have no mic. I could be sitting here trying to talk to you guys through the mic that's built into the computer, which probably wouldn't be bad, but the quality wouldn't be as great. You understand what I'm saying? You can find things to be thankful for, and I really think thankfulness is so important because it allows you to be able to just come aware of all the wonderful things that are going on in your life. If you find yourself in a depressive state, if you find yourself in an anxious state, one of the ways that you can ward off depression and anxiety, like I said, is with thankfulness. Because depression and anxiety normally come with a mind that is spending too much time thinking about a situation that's negative, that's draining, that's traumatic, that maybe draws up thoughts of like PTSD. These are normally things that open up the gateway for depression and anxiety. So again, this idea of focusing on thankfulness, realizing and recognizing all the good in your life, has a positive effect on it. And it makes you realize how blessed you really are. Let me tell you something, guys. We live some really blessed lives. An emphasis on blessed lives. I didn't say that they were perfect, but blessed lives in terms of just some of the many wonderful things that we have in our lives. And especially in this country. We are, very fortunate to be in the positions we are. So, like I said, try to focus on this whole Thanksgiving thing. Let Thanksgiving be a lifestyle for you and not just the fourth Saturday in November when you get to eat a lot of food. You understand what I'm saying, guys? Think about the things that you have. Think about the things that you haven't ever, you know, thought about being thankful for. And just focus on these things. And think about how different your life would be if you didn't have it. Some of you guys have phones. If you're like me, you like the iPhone. You like the Apple iPhones that come out every year. Every year, these phones typically run, what, $1,200 to $1,400, depending on what the pricing is finally at the end and what size you get. I mean, how many of you guys ever wanted these phones and not have money to pay for it? In most cases, you can pay for it. If you don't have the money, you can get a payment plan and just pay little by little until you pay it off. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different things that you know, we can talk about. There was a point when I was getting one of these iPhones, one every year. You know, not anymore, but I'm just saying it was never a problem before. You know, so just learning to be grateful, learning to be thankful for the wonderful things that you have in your life. Like I said, guys, will go a long way. Live a lifestyle of Thanksgiving. Live it. Let it be more than just, like I said, the last Thursday in the month of November. Make it a lifestyle. So that's what I got for you guys here today. Again, hit that subscribe button if you are new. I thank you guys for taking time out just to listen to 94 Feet. It's always a pleasure. Tune in Wednesday. Jose Vargas is going to be on with me. Big interview. I'm telling you guys, you don't want to miss it. I'll chat with you soon. Take care.